With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
I'm Tinsley Mortimer, and you're listening to Andy's Girls.
If you don't kiss the ring, you can kiss my ass.
Manhattan is for princesses. I live in Queens.
that there was going to be a royal connotation. And can I tell you, I actually had a royal theme tagline that I was thinking of, which I saved for next week, which I'm so sad about. Same that would have been.
What I like about mine, which, yes, I've had in my head for literal years, implies that A, Carol Radziwill is still part of the cast, and B, that I don't like her, which I do, but once you think, also, got to represent the outer boroughs.
Oh, my God.
Nobody since Alex McCord.
Let's, oh, Alex.
My role model.
Oh, my God. Shout out to Australia. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 112, and I am so excited to have today's guest, who I have been trying to get on AG for 105 years, because I've been following you on New York Magazine and Vulture, and I'm obsessed with your writing and your brain. So, kudos to you, Molly Fitzpatrick. Did I say your name correctly?
Perfectly.
It's not Malai.
Could be today.
Okay, for now. Writer... hilarious person, New York Magazine, Stop. Vulture, everything ever.
It is my honor and privilege to be here, Sarah. I am so excited to be on the people's couch.
People's couch. Thank you so much. We don't want to piss off Bravo. We're just getting started. So first off, hi. Mazel. You just got married.
It's true.
How long ago was it? It just happened.
It just happened. It was April 13th, 2 weeks to the day before Leanne Locken got married to her soulmate, Rich. Do I take it personally? Yes. Am I over it? No.
Can you believe that Deandra wasn't at the wedding, by the way?
No, I honestly, that to me is like the most okay. I genuinely think their friendship might be dead. I assume she would be there.
I can't believe she wasn't there for the show.
Yeah.
I can't believe she wasn't there, exactly what you said, because Leanne was her fucking maid of honor when she got married. To go from being a maid of honor IRL to being an enemy on a TV show that you're both in.
Yeah.
And then not invited. I mean, was Mama D invited? Like, how does this
Mama D had to be there. Mama D, who in the throes of them fighting was like, Deandra, it doesn't matter. She said you only had $200. By the way, I'm disappointed in you in every way. Like, I feel like Mama D is like more ride or die for Leanne than she is for daughter.
I think she is, which I think D catches on to and is like, hi, can you parent me for a little bit?
Yeah.
You've skipped. Oh, it's like skipping a generation, except you've skipped the bloodline and headed straight for my frenemy. So tell me, which shows are you obsessed with? So you have recapped several different shows through your years at New York Magazine. You've done New York. Which Brian Moylan, friend of the show, recaps as well. You do Southern Charm. What's your favorite show to recap?
Oh, my favorite show to recap is, well, you know, it's a difficult question because I love them all.
Yeah.
I would say I do, partly because we're just talking about it, it's on my mind. I think like Dallas is such a buy low, sell high franchise that people sleep on. Dallas is so much fun.
Oh my God, I love that buy low, sell high. That is exactly right.
I've heard that. I have not seen Potomac, but I've like heard, I feel like that's in that same category.
I would even say more so for Dallas and Potomac, because I think people know that Potomac is really good. Like I think it's a word of mouth thing. People know that Potomac is consistent and excellent, and it's just a matter of do you watch it or not.
Yeah,
Dallas,
for sure.
I think people were slower to take in because it really did have a not great first season.
Yeah,
it had a pretty rough pains, first season.
Definitely.
So that's your favorite show to recap. Who's your favorite Dallas housewife?
I mean, I have to say Leanne. I'm so afraid of her and in awe of her.
Yes.
I just think like in terms of who has generated the most, like who deserves the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Like I have things in my hands. They're not knives or whatever that was behind the closed
just
door.
Just hands.
Oh, truly amazing. But also, I have to say, also up there for me is I also recap New Jersey for Vulture.
Mm.
I'm from New Jersey. I'm from Bergen County, which is like ground zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a special place in my heart for that, even though it is often like coming from an Italian family full of crazy people and siblings who don't talk to each other for like 20 years at a time can be a little triggering. But I also feel like it's my vocation in a special way.
Who's your favorite Jersey housewife?
Oh, Dolores. But oh no, Margaret. Ah, Dolores and Margaret. I love them
They're
both.
They're so good, right?
Margaret also, I feel like I have to disclose, according to like FCC regulations, I got a cameo from Margaret for my friend's 30th birthday. And Margaret like turned it up. She was so sweet and lovely. And I also like, as a connoisseur of watching housewives recorded cameos, not ordered by me, not for people I know, like there is often a low bar, but Marge is just like, you know, she really brought it in the way that I think she brings it on the show. So I do like, have a personal bias towards Marge also, but she and Dolores are my faves.
I also feel like those are the two that are most consistent on and off camera. Like, I think that they, every housewife is playing a slightly heightened version of themselves, and they're also in environments that they wouldn't ordinarily be in. Like, these women would not be socializing with Danielle Staub except for a right. contract and a check. But I feel like those two women are the most true to themselves.
Yeah.
More than anybody else in New Jersey.
Yeah, totally. And also, like, Dolores has, I think she posted it on Instagram too, but somebody put together like screen grabs yes. from old episodes of Dolores has, in like, always been there as a friend, not as a friend of a housewife, but as a friend. Like, she's genuinely in this social group with Teresa.
It's so interesting to me because this past season she had such a support for Tree, and I wonder in real life how that works with her genuine friendship with Caroline Manzo.
Yeah,
because it's not like Caroline and Teresa were enemies on TV. I genuinely believe that they despise each other IRL. So how does that work? Does Caroline say, like, how was work today? Like, how does that operate? Or do they just
That's a great
is it
question.
Like Chinese wall or whatever you call it, where it's like they just don't, like, bring it up and they don't address it in any way? How does that work?
I don't know. Either I try to imagine either scenario, and both of them seem wildly impossible to me.
Right?
But so does everything about this being your life and your job. So I don't know. Maybe you just acclimate.
And speaking of Tree and Tree Huggers, Gia graduated from high school this week.
Oh my God, I know.
So beautiful, so smart. It's like a fucking miracle.
So proud of her.
So proud of her. Heading to Rutgers. Like,
I know, pride of New Jersey. Rutgers is a great school.
It is a great school. I'm glad that they're figuring whatever out. Teresa can sell some lubes and pay that girl's tuition, because Lord knows that wasn't in her top three of things to purchase. What are your thoughts on this ongoing legal case with Joe Giudice Giudice?
Yeah, however we're pronouncing it
this week.
I am always just, like, fascinated watching Teresa's reactions to it whenever it comes up, because lack thereof. Exactly. I know. I just saw they hired, like, the Bridgegate attorney to represent him. Like, it is very much ongoing. I think he was, like, not on the right side of Bridgegate, question mark.
He was representing, like,
the bridge. I don't know. But I think he's also, I'm from New Jersey, I should know this. But no, I know it is very much,
he was representing, like, Christie's people?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah. But I know I think, like, my impression of him is he is sort of, like, a nefarious but towering, like, Jersey legal figure. So, I don't know. It seems like it's ongoing, but...
Which maybe they just need to fight fire with fire. I mean, this is relatively skeezy in and of itself.
Yeah.
It is strange. It is strange because politically, I think the Jersey folks are overall on the conservative side.
Definitely.
Wouldn't surprise me if in the past Tree has been like, blah, 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 immigration. And now they're in this strange position where they're trying to say,
right,
he deserves to stay.
And I guarantee you that the irony of that has occurred to her for exactly zero moments, and she will learn nothing from it, and it will remain the same.
I also feel like Teresa has probably made peace with the fact that Joe was going to be deported and she was going to file for divorce.
And, oh, for sure.
And
yeah.
Now we're in this limbo that's, like, months long limbo. I don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a decision coming soon-ish, but I could be pulling that out of my ass. And it's like, I wonder how it feels to be Teresa, who's also filming, they're filming Jersey. Because you don't know if this is your husband. You don't know if you should be putting, like, some let's pretend she has emotional maturity or any kind of, like, thermometer stuck in there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't, when you go visit him, if she is visiting him consistently. Oh, no, wait, she can't visit him right now because he's in the immigration center spa.
Yeah, like detention. Yeah,
he's getting a massage. it's like, let's pretend that she was allowed to visit him right now. Like, are you visiting him as, like, the father of your children and a man that you know that you're going to separate with?
Yeah.
Are you visiting him as, like, your, you know, beloved? Like, how does that even work? I don't know how I would handle that emotionally. That's got to be tough.
I know. Even if, like, I mean, we've all, even though it's often very much tiptoed around on the show, like, we've all seen photos of Teresa, at least apparently, ostensibly, allegedly,
With a younger guy. Who I think is gay, right? I don't think they're fucking
either. But I do think that it's, like, pretty obvious to anyone who is not contractually obligated to be Teresa's coworker, that she is like very much emotionally checked out of this.
Right.
And I feel like even if that were not the case, if this were just, it would still be really difficult. So I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. And again, every time, and this happens so often watching and writing about the show, anytime I find myself struggling to put myself in Teresa's shoes and empathetically understand her, I do think it is helpful to remind ourselves that it is, I think, we are giving her a lot more credit for introspection than she deserves. But I know it genuinely is a horrible situation. I mean, Tree is Tree, but I love her daughters. I love
She has great
international
kids.
Global recording superstar Melania. I love Gia. I am heartbroken for them, and I have mixed feelings about the fact that
they're the ones that are getting punished.
They're getting punished, and it's being recorded and aired on national television, which is a little ugh to me sometimes. So I feel terrible for them. But yeah, I know. It seems like an impossible situation.
So speaking of all things Jersey, what side are you on a la Danielle Staub? Do you think it's appropriate for her to get a bag of trash again? Do you think, which is what I pretend they hold in the credits, do you think she should be back at all? What are your thoughts?
It's such a good question. I will say when she first started, when the crops turned black and the winds blew and it became clear that Danielle Staub was going to rejoin us, I was like very excited because also, you know, I think about, I mean, season one, prostitution, horror, everything. Also, just like any woman who has been engaged 21 times is like a woman I want on my television. I like want to know what's going on with her. But I have to say, I think my eyes were a little bigger than my stomach. And it's just been, I mean, it has made for compelling television, but just especially like, because I love Margaret, and watching Margaret mm-hmm. have to deal with the mm-hmm. incredibly repetitive mm-hmm. and similar outbursts of like, this is a betrayal, you're not my friend, like incredibly toxic behavior is a little bit like, oh, I'm like, oh, maybe this is like a little bit much. Mm-hmm. I don't know, question mark. It's funny because I was just thinking too, I was thinking about two very different women, but I was thinking about Camille, who also is like, you know, mm-hmm, tiptoeing mm-hmm. back into mm-hmm. her franchise. And for both of them, their destination tropical weddings were kind of like, I feel like part of their value add to these seasons was like, okay, now we're going to go shoot at my like amazing wedding. And yet I feel like with Camille, I am like ready to see more of Camille still. But with Danielle, I'm a little bit like, oh, I don't know. This feels like OG Jersey, which could sound like I mean it as a compliment, but it's OG Jersey in a way I feel like, oh, I don't think this is that show anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of don't think I'm ready for like, I'm sure Danielle Staub deserves as many bags of trash as she wants and can get her hands on in her real life. But I don't know if I'm ready for like full-time cast member Danielle.
Yeah, honestly, I think the trash bag in my heart and soul would be lit on fire. Yeah. I also think like, what's the likely, she's never going to be back full-time, first off, because she's too much of a moral and legal liability. And also, allegedly, they got into some sort of physical altercation for this upcoming season. Danielle versus Margaret. Margaret said like her Valentino, I spoke to her about this, I think last month. Margaret said her Valentino bag was like almost caught on fire or something. And according to, I think, Page Six, so you know it must be true. Uh-huh. Danielle's no longer filming from that. Like, I think production was like, you actually went too far. But who knows? That could have been Margaret's people or Dolores's people or somebody's people.
Yeah.
Leaking that, because this is what these women do, is that they try to force off the people that they either feel is competition or folks who they genuinely dislike by having their teams, quote unquote, leak things to tabloids.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we have seen in Jersey, New York, it's like every other day. I mean, that was a huge part of season 3 mm-hmm. with Jill leaking information about her sax party and Luann's whatever the fuck to Page Six, with which Bethany was like, this is entirely manufactured. You know, Beverly Hills, obviously, with Puppygate, we've yes. seen that with Radar, although who knows if we'll ever know truly who leaked that.
I know, one of history's greatest mysteries,
right? Mm-hmm. So much. I asked Luann that last week, and she was like, I am pleading the fifth. And I said, really, you don't want to give me something? Okay, cool. No big deal. She was very busy feeling Giovanni. Yeah, it's interesting how reading that story and wondering the backstory, and the reason I'm thinking about this is because the Daily Mail yesterday published what I'm going to be very generous in calling an article uh-huh. about maybe Tinsley
definitely being asked back. And it was sort of saying, in contrast to what a cast member said, and she was pushing back and was like, no, the only reason that this person leaked this is because they're disgruntled and mm-hmm. whatever else. I'm pulling it up right now. It's interesting that, you know, either different camps are leaking information, because I think there is a core of truth here. Obviously, somebody is leaking something.
Yeah.
And it's a question of, like, are these co-stars leaking information to try to sink you, or are you trying to negotiate too hard and production is trying to show you what's going on? There was some strangeness in this piece because it said that Tinsley had a 5-year contract, which I was like, I don't think anybody. Yeah. I think they really go season to season. And it's interesting to me. You know, she has, or, and I say she because obviously it's somebody on her team, but they say in this article, you know, Tinsley's a saint in comparison to these women who are demanding like an entourage and tons of money. And it's an insider that added, the cast members who are really on the chopping block are those who have gotten too big for their britches and have delusions of grandeur that have caused them to lose touch with reality. Mm. And I'm wondering who might have leaked this. Like, I posted this on Insta and a listener immediately responded and was like, do you think it was Jill? And I said no, or I think no, although I find that fascinating.
Yeah I want to believe it was Jill. I love that version of events.
Right, it is in her bag of tricks, but I don't think she's close enough to production at this moment. And then I would think, judging from the language that Tinsley's team is using, that maybe it's Luann, except...
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like it's meant to sound like Luann.
Right, except Tinsley was at Luann's party last week. She was the only cast member, because Barbara Kay is not actually a cast member, to attend. So I'm like, where the fuck is this coming from?
Or is the call coming from inside the house?
In what? Do you think it... Meaning production, maybe? Or do you think she's saying it so she can fire back at herself? What are you thinking?
Just because one is feeling Giovanni, I don't know if that necessarily means one is really feeling Luann, and might be, I don't know. I'm like, I'm here for all kinds of duplicity.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I also think, like, this has been, I don't want to say it's a low bar, but this has definitely been Tinsley's best season.
Oh my God.
So good. So it's just weird for this to come up now.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to, it makes my brain itchy, but I have been waiting for this moment. Like, I have been ready for Tinsley to be on The Real Housewives of New York before that idea was, like, a twinkle in Andy's eye. Because, like, I remember her from the 10 plus years ago, where she'd be in the same Gawker post as, like, a Julia Allison.
Yeah, she had her own Dior lip gloss.
Oh, my God, totally. So
much more than Julia Allison.
Much more than Julia
Allison. It's, like, Julia came out of the womb a joke, but Tinsley was real.
Just a blog fame ball. But Tinsley's, like, a full-blown socialite. And I just knew, I feel like people have not opened their hearts to her having an apple fully, but I feel like this season she has just, like, come into her own. I'm so thrilled. I mean, we've had an amazing couple episodes for Tinsley, a tragic, heartbreaking couple episodes, but I don't know. You don't think so, Sarah? Tell me your thoughts.
No, I totally agree with you. let's unpack New York. First off, by far Tinsley's best episode. I loved seeing Tinsley without her lashes.
Yeah.
I think Ramona was startled and probably needs, like, therapeutic treatment from, like, walking in and seeing Tinsley as, like, a real person and not a doll.
Yeah.
Like some sort of tragic American girl gone wrong. I think Tinsley has been great this season. I mean, guys, coming up, I'm going to have a little interview with Tinsley where I asked her, this essentially point blank, are you coming back? What's happening? And spoiler alert, she says she is. But I think that there are elements of Tinsley that are made for TV, and I'm curious how other housewives address them. Yeah. For example, Bethany went on Watch What Happens last night, one of the best Watch What Happens of all time. Like, I'm a recovering Bethany superstan, and I really thought Bethany didn't live here anymore, and turns out she does, and it's in a much bigger, fabulous, more house than she's had before. Like, she really has delivered to me in a very strong way this season. But I think it was on the after show, someone was asking her about Tinsley and Billy Bush, because there was, again, according to Page Six, rumors that Tinsley and Billy Bush are now dating. And Bethany was like, yeah, I don't think that's real. I think that it's a reach, and they're both working the PR angle, and he's a canoodler, and so is she. And I would love to see how that's going to be incorporated on New York next season, because they're filming now. Tinsley talks about the fact that she's filming with a new cast member. It's definitely not the Mooch's wife. I have no idea who it is, but it's somebody in the world. And I'm curious about Tinsley's relationships, because she has mystery money that I think everybody watching the show has noticed. She has like an endless supply of new designer dresses and doesn't repeat anything. And she says she and Coupon Cabin are no more. He's sending her $700 Gucci sneakers because the name of the sneaker is Bambi.
The single weirdest bereavement gift of all time.
The bougiest. Gucci. Like, how did we cross over the... Everyone's like, and it was sneakers. It's like, guys, are we ignoring... Gucci stripe. Slightly above the $8 bodega flowers that I'm staring at that were a special occasion. I find it fascinating, and I think it's different from Dorit's mystery money, which Camille, thank fucking God, is going to address on next week's episode in the open. Can't wait. It's something that the entire audience is thinking about, and thank God somebody's doing work on Beverly Hills. And for Tinsley, I want to unpack next season, like, where this money is coming from, because what did Dorinda say? She's like, she's spending money like someone who's never had to have a job or something. Like,
yeah.
And I think that's spot on. And I am obsessed with like these kinds of aspects of the Housewives of like, is this being done? Like Dorit, I think, is wearing all this crazy shit so she looks rich on TV.
Yeah.
Tinsley, I'm like, maybe this angle is amped for television, but also I do believe she is that person that's like terrible with money, and money is coming from sources that don't make any sense. And I'm curious for how that's going to work next season, because ultimately, like, who do you think is footing the bill for this?
So I my thoughts on this, although I would love to be wrong, is that the simplest explanation is often correct, which is I'm like, Dale, like, they have they're old money, aren't they? I feel like Tinsley still gets like a literal allowance like per week.
I think she probably has a check coming in. I don't think it's big. And there was some super old, I think it's like a Washington Post article that her dad was in, actual literal rest in peace, where it was talking about the fact that they have an old money name. Isn't it Mercer?
Yeah.
It's an old money name, but that doesn't necessarily bring with it an old money checkbook. And I think that when Tinsley was a Mortimer, she definitely had access to money. But I think that the Mercers probably definitely, like, she was raised with wealth, but I don't think that she has an estate's worth of money. And I don't think she has enough money to buy a $3,000 outfit that the women are like, this looks terrible, flattens your boobs, whatever, call it a day, just for one day of filming. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, that's true.
And are we ever going to know where it's coming? Like, how could it not be Coupon Cabin's money? Like, maybe as a part of their agreement, if there was one when they broke up, as long as she didn't speak ill of him, he would, like, give her, let her keep his like Amex like number,
common law alimony kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me too. I could totally see that.
Like, it makes more sense to me that it was coming from him than her family money. Although neither she nor her sister have any interest in like working or whatever. Right. So somebody is paying for these lifestyles. But I don't ultimately think that she has a Mercer fortune to fall back on that is so big that she can spend literally tens of thousands of dollars, many tens of thousands of dollars for wardrobe to be seen on camera. And P.S., she's still living in that fucking hotel.
Yeah.
Like, who, guys, listeners, can you reach out to me if you have a satchel of gold specific to like Tinsley Mortimer's checking savings? Because who is paying for this?
Yeah, I would love to see the tax returns.
Like, I think she is spending more money on shit than Bethany is.
Yeah.
I mean, Bethany has like the Birkin collection, but Tinsley seems to be spending an awful lot of money on TV production upkeep. And I get that it's part of her brand, but I'm also like, genuinely, where the fuck is this coming from? Like, genuinely, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I really like your, we still have the Amex number, like, saved, right? And we're just using it. It's fine. Yeah.
I feel like, and he's not saying anything, so she's going to keep on doing it, and they probably still have affection for each other, and maybe it was a part of the breakup where he's like, you're not going to move to Chicago, so we can't be together, and also I keep breaking up with you, or she keeps breaking up with him, and there's some sort of something, because he's not wasting, not to say mm-hmm. he's wasting money, but he's not spending money on Coupon Cabin commercials, which right. is what he used to do, which was, they were great commercials, but it was purely to like help his girlfriend have some staying power.
It was like, oh, I put an ad saying, good luck, Tinsley, in the school play program.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it. I made my professional peak as an actor at 11 in a play, and my father bought a full page ad in the program that was like addressed to my little girl who like grows up too quick or whatever the fuck. And Coupon Cabin, as a parental figure in Tinsley's life or whatever, from a financial perspective, at the least, has bought her or used to buy her TV theater program ads. And maybe those are now just in the form of like self-portrait dresses or whatever. I don't know what dress that was. It looked like self-portrait, but self-portrait isn't $3,000. So I don't know if she's including the shoes and the hair and the beauty and whatever. P.S. Did she bring a makeup person? Who is that guy, Scott, or whoever it was who was doing her makeup?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that was an import, but I guess that was like a one-man glam squad.
And PPS, there's a deleted scene that's been circulating on Twitter yesterday, last night, of a fight that Tinsley and Ramona had that they used in the initial trailer for the season before it premiered, of Ramona saying, your makeup is terrible, you're wearing way too much, and I look better than you do, and I'm like twice your age. Except of course she didn't say it in those words, but she was like, I look younger than you do, and she said it in her Ramona way of like, I'm being funny but I'm actually trying to bury you. And Tinsley's like literally crying. Like, how did that not make the episode?
That feels like the, I mean, that in one interaction feels like the, what so many interactions that they have is driving at. Like, that's gold. Why wouldn't they have put that in?
I don't know. Why is the season shorter?
It's next week is the finale, right? Which is crazy.
When they said on next week's finale, I gasped, which is not abnormal, I will admit. But I was like, what the fuck are you doing? You have so many cuts of like Luann talking about her scram or let's call the whole thing off when she blows into a little box and to test her out. And that's just a random little flash. If we're not seeing Tinsley cry over Ramona, we're just seeing that as a deleted clip. Like, why is next week? I genuinely don't understand.
I know. And meanwhile, we are going to have new episodes of this season of Beverly Hills forever. Airing when we have a new president or when we have Trump again, Nightmare World. You know, like, it's never going to end. I know. It's really upsetting because especially I feel like we really have some great momentum lately. I mean, last week was like an all-timer of Bethany just having a screaming heart attack. So it's like, how are we leaving right now?
Last week was the greatest of all time. I honestly thought this week's episode was one of like the top three New York episodes. I just felt like we had the raw emotion. We had the truth. We had the complete denial of fact. We had Dorinda out of breath making garbled noises of come and shop, which I couldn't get enough of. We had Ramona being a complete dick and absolutely fighting Luann again, Game of Thrones, fighting Luann for the crown by scheduling a random fucking party that made no sense to nobody, especially Barbara Kay. Like, I just feel like this is, we're getting so much gold right now.
I know.
Why are we ending it? And then we're left with what? We're left with Potomac, great, and Beverly Hills, which will never end because we're being punished for something. And then I assume the OC trailer is coming soon or Jersey or something. But like, why is this ending? It just doesn't, it's like 14 episodes or 16 episodes or something already right now.
I know.
What? Why isn't it at 20 or 18? I'm so upset. Like, what did they do? I don't understand.
I know. I was trying to, I'm like, does this have something to do with like Luann's like legal timeline? I have no, it's just like baffling to me. Otherwise, there must be some like logistical reason that I'm not seeing to compress
this.
Well,
they filmed the reunion early, I think, due to Luann's legal difficulties. But that doesn't explain why the episode's being aired are so short.
Right, yeah.
It is weird to me, and I feel like New York is so good. And even though the season isn't overall their best season, I think that there have been so many spectacular moments that it makes me kind of sad. I also feel like just unpacking this week, there was genuinely a lot that happened.
Yeah.
For example, Luann is obviously super delusional about how people are viewing her. And it feels like she's confusing her life with her behavior. And she yeah. feels like these women are coming at her, and she feels like it is a threat to her life and her power, when what I believe they're saying is, your behavior sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, genuinely, this keeps coming back to me, how is she watching this season and not recognizing it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's also like, so having watched as much reality TV as I have, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I have a overblown belief in my bullshit detector. But watching this, I'm like, it's clear, even though your friends are yelling at you, yes, this is coming from a place of concern and love. Like, I feel like they are really worried about her, and it is so alarming to me that she is just so, I has no room for that perspective whatsoever.
I think she feels like she's in competition with Bethany. And so she feels at moments, let me stick my head up her ass to show her that I understand I'm not better than her. And then on the flip side, she's upset and annoyed that Bethany got a sneak peek into mm-hmm. Luann at her lowest, most vulnerable like state of affairs in her life, and she'll never forgive Bethany for knowing too much.
I completely agree with you. I think that is very astute. I think that it is really hard to, when someone has seen you like that and you are have not forgiven yourself about that behavior right. and it's still raw, every time you look at them, you see yourself in that state. And all the anger and self-directed hatred you may feel, you assume they feel. And I could see how that would just get really complicated and really ugly.
It's also interesting to me that Luann kept talking about how these women and production essentially were triggers for her in drinking. She's like, I'm going to go, James or whomever, Kevin, whatever the fuck that name of the production assistant was, get me a car. Then, of course, production's like, you can't leave. So she goes back to the table and she's like, oh, I thought about it. And when it's like, no, you were told that you cannot leave filming right now because we're getting gems. We're getting literal satchels of gold. And it seems like she's using what's happening around her as a reasoning for, I am an addict and this is a trigger for me drinking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she got in trouble with the law this go around for drinking, not during filming, but while she was on her tour. So I don't know how you defend continuing the tour and having that not be a trigger when you're saying to the world that filming the show is a trigger.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It was those like nighttime mimosas, right? Or whatever it
was. Yeah, she said it, which I was like, who the fuck is drinking a mimosa? Yeah, that alone is concerning. That's weird to me.
Yeah.
I also felt like you might have gotten this from the start. I did not. The reasoning that Ramona said when the episode started, that the reason that Bethany was losing her mind, fact check me because I'm going to fuck this up, is because she was realizing that she had done all of this work to get Luann to treatment and is realizing that Dennis died and what would have happened if she had put that much effort into getting him treatment.
Yeah,
Is that right?
I think you are right. And I was like, oh my God, Ramona, thank you for explaining this to me.
I hadn't gotten it last week.
She said that, I feel like I see it in a completely new light. And I'm like, okay, I understand the intensity of this for Bethany.
Yeah, and Dorinda being like, I'm a little drunky, which I thought was adorable. Having that moment with Bethany in their ridiculously phenomenal Airbnb after and saying, just, I want to talk to you not about Luann, but about yourself. And I want to just hear you say, like, I feel sad. And Bethany misheard her, I think, or her reaction was like, and Dorinda was like, you're super high functioning and that's not actually great for you. And Bethany's response was like being hysterical and saying like, it is bad. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's hard for Bethany to emote unless it comes from like this burst and this gushing.
Yeah, it's
dam.
All or nothing. It's hard for her to just be like, oh, I'm having a rough day today. Like, I think it builds up and then the valve breaks. I know. It was such a great, I mean, Dorin is like an all-time favorite of mine.
So good.
I love
so
her. Good. And it was such a good episode to highlight both her, you know, an adorable drunky level, which yeah. I'm always here for, having like that really real moment with mm-hmm. Bethany. And then also having, you know, the complete insanity about, you know, once again, what is, she was saying, like, oh, me saying the fight yeah. in Cartagena wasn't as bad as what Bethany did, which I think is insane. And like only Dorinda would see it from that Dorinda comes out on top there. And I just love it when we get to see all her colors of like genuine. I think she's a wonderful person and I think she's an insane person. And I love to get them all wrapped up in 1 week. It's just a great episode for me.
So in your eyes, Dorinda essentially shaming Luann and saying like, at least I didn't go to jail, is worse than what Bethany did.
I think that, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, I think Bethany, I'm sure it was unpleasant to be Luann
yeah.
when those lobster pop tarts were getting put down in front of her and Bethany was going through it. But I
Sonia think, looks at that toaster and she's like, fuck, this could have been mine. sorry, continue. Yeah.
No, but I think, and you know, I don't know how Luann sees it, but I feel like Bethany's emotional outburst, though it was ugly and intense, it came from like a real place. Like you said, I think she let it build up and then it all comes out in one burst. Whereas I think drunk Dorinda in Columbia was being defensive and mean.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And it's all about the intention. Bethany's intention was to speak truth to power or yeah, whatever. Yeah. And Dorinda's intention was to hurt Luann.
Yeah.
And Luann looks at that as, first, who's more important for me to have on my side?
Yes,
she thinks of Bethany through the show and nothing else. And with Dorinda, she's like, you actually hurt my feelings and maybe we were closer friends. And that's why it's upsetting. I mean, I was thinking, when Bethany was talking about that weird, what did she send her, a shirt? A fuzzy shirt?
Like a fuzzy jacket?
What the fuck is that?
Speaking, I mean, I know the Gucci Bambi sneakers are the number one weird gift of the episode.
$730.
$730.
I Googled it.
But yeah, a fluffy, the unseen mysterious fluffy jacket also raises questions for me.
Mohair? What the fuck was happening? But it reminded me of, when was it? Was it last season, the season before, whenever, when Bethany was filming with Beverly Hills and that became a plot point on New York because she was saying, Luann, we hung out like once, but Luann kept texting me because Luann wanted to be involved with the shoot when I was shooting with Beverly Hills. And I was like, no. And Luann's response was, but we're such good friends. I wanted to spend time with you. When it's like, really, I wanted to be on camera. I wanted to be a part of that crossover. And when I was hearing about the weird fuzzy jacket situation, I started thinking about that moment because it is, she sent a gift to Bethany and Barbara Kay, I think because she felt bad about a portion of her behavior while they were filming, but not really about the root of this. And I care much less about Barbara Kay, as I'm sure Barbara Kay does, and much more about the fact that ultimately Lou does not understand because she can't take it in and like metabolize it inside her body, ultimately what Bethany was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're exactly right.
Like it's a superficial gift for a superficial apology.
Yeah, that gift is the material equivalent of saying, I'm sorry if you were offended. Like, it's not really, it's like, But also, I know, poor Barbara Kay. I think this Chiron has been, like, consistent throughout the season, but there was something at, like, the top of this week's episode where, like, Bethany, still very upset, has gone off, and maybe, like, Dorinda and Barbara are comforting her, but it's Barbara, Luann's friend. And it was just so funny that we're still, theoretically, we've established some like intimacy with Barbara as a character, but we have to be reminded, no, she is just Luann's friend. And also in a moment where she is literally comforting Bethany and in a fight with Luann, she is still Luann's friend.
Because what is her identity? I mean, someone asked Bethany, for somebody asked, oh God, that spray tan. I felt so bad for whomever put in security deposit. But somebody asked Bethany that on Watch What Happens. They're like, do you think that Barbara has changed because of like the fighting, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Bethany was like, no. Like,
yeah.
Barbara served her purpose, which was defending Lou until she felt like she needed to defend herself and cried and whatever. And it's innocuous. I mean, like, she's, I would refer to her as cotton candy, but I think that's too upsetting to cotton candy. Like, that's too generous to Barbara Kay, where it's like not even like it's a sweet treat and then we get a headache. It's like, no, you're not even like over saccharine or whatever. It's you're just there. She keep Barbara Kay keeps doing press for her book and saying like, I'm a real girl. Like, that's what they need on New York. They need someone who's real. Like, they need someone, a nice girl. I like wear what I wear and I have a job and whatever. And I'm thinking like, we don't actually need that on New York. No. We need somebody that's bringing something to the table, and being actual friends with Luann is not enough. Barbara Kay had an excellent episode last week. I felt for her. I thought she came across really well, but overall this was not a hit. Like, apologies to Hammers.
Agree.
She did not nail it, okay? Like, hey. She's not coming to Netflix, okay? This was not a hit in any way.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, life will go on. Her life will go on. Our lives will go on. Our time together was what it was, and I don't regret it.
Yeah, she's going to go back to being in the background. But also, Andy referenced something that comes up on next week's finale again on What
Every time I hear this next week's finale, I'm like, no, that can't be.
I know, it's so upsetting. It's genuinely so upsetting. But he says that there's like a mic moment. He said that to Bethany on Watch What Happens. She's like, what are you talking
like
about?
Like a The Jinx situation? Like a hot mic moment?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like this happened a couple seasons ago and Barbara Kay sued production moment or whenever that was.
Yeah.
And he said it involved Barbara Kay. And I'm thinking either Luann was talking shit about Barbara Kay and it got picked up on a mic, or much more realistic, Barbara Kay was saying something shitty about Luann or Luann's cabaret and the mic picked it up, which then my ears were like, beep, beep. Like, that is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And speaking of full of shit, Andy posed a question to Bethany. I'm going to pose to you, or maybe it was a listener that said it to Bethany and I'm going to pose it to you. Do you think that Luann is in on the joke
of her cabaret?
Of her cabaret.
Okay, that is such a good question. And I've been thinking about this a lot.
Okay,
and
great.
I will preface this by saying that I went to her cabaret in New York at 54 Below.
Phenomenal. Did you go the first night?
I didn't go the first night.
You go the second night?
I went like pretty early on because I went up for Vulture and wrote about it, which was a lot of fun. God, but I don't think it was the very first performance.
Okay.
It was genuinely like one of the more fun nights of my life. Especially because the Count was there. The Count and her kids were there the night I was there. It was amazing.
Unbelievable.
And part of the fun of it is like looking around and being like, who's here? Like, whose profile will I recognize from like a shot at the Regency? Like, and it was great to feel like, oh, I am, even though I'm literally, like, they're literally not filming, but I'm like, I'm on the show. Like, I have entered the universe of like my favorite TV show. And it was great. But the thing about her cabaret is that I don't think anyone, I think her cabaret is so much fun. Ben Rimmelauer, an amazing talent. I think it's delightfully written, a very fun night at the theater. But I don't think anyone would make the argument. I don't think that anyone would make the argument that Luann is like a great voice of her generation. It's not like a full on like Florence Foster Jenkins thing, but it is like a little bit at her expense, I would say. Like, it's kind of, you know, I don't know. But the way that she talks about her cabaret stardom leads me to wonder if she thinks she is one of the great voices of her generation. I don't know. Like, originally, I thought she was in on the joke to the extent that it is a joke.
I'm nodding.
Now I think my gut is that she's not.
I think it's because it's really popular. And she's misinterpreting popularity for talent or something. I think she looks at herself as an entertainer, and because she's genuinely surrounded by like Broadway stars and people who can really sing, who are sort of helping hold up the show, or funny people like Murray Hill, I think she thinks, look at who's surrounding me, look at the quality of their work, I am at that level now, and also people are coming to see me. I mean, the whole thing is it's hashtag the Countess and Friends, but it's the Countess and then Friends. I think that, you know, when they were talking about, when the women were talking about like, we don't want to be in an audience and see you on stage, I thought that they were making a valid point. And it was interesting to me that Sonia's been on a part of so many performances because Luann is ultimately in control. I mean, Luann wants to be the star on stage. Bethany has a multi-million dollar brand, but Luann has a show. Luann gets to look into an audience night after night and perform to cheers from people adoring that are there fans to see her. And the people are genuinely there to see her. They're also genuinely there to feel like they are a part of the Real Housewives of New York. You've been to her show at 54 Below. I've been to her show at 54 Below. I think we can both honestly say that for me, it was one of the best nights of my life. I am not joking when I say I went with OG of the AG, Damian Bellino, and we were screaming. We were cheering.
Same. Absolutely.
You can go to my Insta and see the highlights. Like, it was insane. It was great. I said to Lou after the show, like, this was genuinely fantastic because it really was fun. And I'm not going to take that away from her. Yeah. I'm just going to say that a lot of the fun was that we were surrounded by people who understood what we were going to see. It wasn't Lou performing like a monologue that would bring us to our knees. It was because it's a community, and Luann has, and Ben and everybody involved in her show have created a second wave for Bravo viewers that hadn't previously existed. Like, Bravo's now doing BravoCon, which is fantastic, which people have, I think, been asking for years. They're doing it. I'm sure it's going to be spectacular in November. Lou has essentially created a BravoCon on the road.
Yes.
It is Lou specific and New York specific, but that is a world that she has created that has been very, very popular and will continue to sell out. And I think at one point, Luann started to think this is less about the show, or it's still about the show, but really they're coming to see me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that she's in on it anymore. I mean, those scenes of her recording Phil and Giovanni, I don't think she's in on the joke. Like, Bethany hadn't seen the video, she says, until Watch What Happens last night. She watched it, and there are scenes with, like, Lou and her extensions, and it, like, the whole joke is that Lou says, like, I'm not J-Lo, but, like, it felt, what is it, Waiting for Tonight? Like, it felt like Phil and Giovanni is, like, a little Waiting for Tonight, which is, I think, one of J-Lo's best videos. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. And I don't think she was recording that scene when they were shooting it thinking this is a joke. Like, I don't, maybe Lisa Rinna and Cynthia Bailey were in on the joke a little bit. You know, Ben dropped some tea last week that actually Dorinda was supposed to be the person co-starring in the video and then dropped out at some point before they went into production for it. I mean, I don't know that, you know, Lou's in her bathrobe or whatever with her glittery outfit underneath on set, and she's thinking this is going to be really funny and kitschy. I think Luann is thinking, like, I am a star now. And I don't think she's entirely wrong, but I also think this is shtick that going to. So is it possible she's lost that, and is that why she's unwilling to accept critiques from these? I'm, like, literally putting this out there as I think of it out loud, which is why it does probably won't make sense. But is that why she's unable to take a critique from these women? Because she feels like if she takes in their critique of her behavior, it's going to chip away at this successful thing that she has ownership of, that she doesn't want them to take down.
I feel like it must be, it's, I mean, obviously cabaret. It's like, must be this huge buoy to her fraught self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's really protective of it.
Totally.
And the fact that they wouldn't want to go to her cabaret for the nth time, anything that suggests to her that maybe the cabaret is not the giant, glowing, sparkling supernova of an achievement that she, like, needs it to be for herself, is, like, an existential threat. But also, like, that drove me I it'll shock you to hear, Sarah, I am not a cabaret star. But I think as somebody who, like, writes articles that go on the internet, like, there's still, it's interesting to have a job where you could sort of ask your friends to put your artwork on their fridge. You know what I mean? Like, you could be like, oh, let me send you something I did. Or, like, I'm doing a performance. Come to my performance. And I don't know know, like, even with my own, like, I think like sending someone a link to something is a pretty like low commitment relative to like come to my like 2 hour
show
and be in the front row and, you know, do your own sort of mini performance during it. But I don't know. I feel like most people I know who have the opportunity to sort of like torture their friends with their work try to like minimize it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to like overextend, like burden people's kindness. And it's just like, and I also like, I would have so much more sympathy. I mean, Ramona scheduling the not a surprise birthday party was extremely shady. So that's its own thing. But I would have so much more sympathy for Lou's like insistence that everyone come to the cabaret all the time. If she were like, I don't know if this is the case, but I'm guessing it's partly the case. It's like, hey, I need to like drum up publicity or sell tickets. And you know, it would really help if you, my famous co-stars were there. It would be like more, you know, then it would be more of a Page Six thing and like we'd sell more tickets. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I get that. But just like her unexamined belief that of course everyone would want to come see the same shtick and patter over and over again is like exhausting and hilarious to me.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
No, me either.
I wonder what that reunion was like. I wonder if Bethany wanted to hold her feet to the fire again or was like, I already did this on camera. Let's just agree to disagree.
I feel like it might be the latter. Like, who knows? I'm excited to see it, but I feel like that seemed like it was pretty cathartic for Bethany. I feel like she might have been like, okay, I processed that. I don't really want to spend my time with this anymore.
Yeah, and thinking of catharsis, Lou's response at the table of like, I'm sorry, Barbara, for this weekend. Bethany, Dennis was a great guy. And that's not really...
Oh, Dennis's death was a major thing, I think is what she said. Which is like, I know she's like, you know, speaking extemporaneously and it's emotional. But I was like, oh, a major thing. Like, oh, I don't know.
And he tried to like help her out of that $6 million house thing.
Yeah.
And it's just... Oh, it was rough, tough stuff. It was not great for her. And I... God, Luann is so spectacular on this show. She is so...
Yeah.
I think it's weird to say she's needed because, my God, this is quite an ensemble in New York. But she is so interesting and so singular. And I'm genuinely curious for, like, what's going to happen next season. Is it going to be more of this? Is it, like, what is she going to look like? How is she going to change, if at all, or is she just going to be tighter and tighter into herself?
Totally. And I think what we've really seen about Luann is, like, think about the beginning of this season where it was like, come see my house. I've really landed on my feet. Oh, I've, like, come so far from before. Like, she's definitely, I mean, very concerned about her image and very interested in when she does see a season or, you know, she just knows that she's had, like, very publicly documented misfortunes, let's say. Mm-hmm. So I think she's going to be really keen to be like, oh, I've like shown growth when she like senses that any kind of negativity surrounding her actions. But I don't know what that will look like. Like, how do you, and will it be real like remorse or growth, or will it be what I just like, I mean.
And they're filming now. I wonder what the producers are thinking. I wonder if they're like, we've had enough of the cabaret. Let's move on to other stuff. Or they're like, no, dig in deeper because let's see what the fuck you're doing. And, you know, we know now about her, you know, like they started filming since the reunion. She had that court appearance where she was in jail for 40 minutes or whatever. Like, things are happening and she needs to treat her probation, I think, more seriously than she did in the past. And I don't know if that's going to be a part of it. I am curious. I do feel weird about the fact that now we have to wait again for New York because I feel like I didn't get fully fed this time. I'm like, my appetite, I'm like, what is going to satiate this? Because it's not Beverly Hills. And I have a satchel of gold from someone on IG who says, in the past 12 months, who's had the worst season, Beverly Hills or OC? And that took my breath away because I was like, holy shit, they've both been terrible. What are your thoughts? Who has had the worst season in the last year, Beverly Hills or OC?
So I actually, OC is a huge blind spot for me. I've seen literally one episode ever. I filled in for Brian Moylan to recap. I know, I need to.
Which episode did you see?
It was sometime last season. Nothing interesting happened and I don't remember.
But
I know, I've heard this is.
Well, I feel like there's your answer because I'm going to say the same thing, which is Orange County. I don't remember what I genuinely, like, I'm not lying to you. The only thing I remember is a moment in the reunion where Vicky said that, like, Kelly does coke. Like, that is all I remember. I swear to God, and I've seen every episode of every franchise at least twice. I do not, I really don't I don't remember. I don't remember where they went on vacation. I don't remember what they did. There was a trailer for next season that should be arriving shortly. I couldn't tell you. And then we have Beverly Hills. Okay, let's go piece by piece. Who do you think leaked the story to Radar Online?
Okay. I will begin by saying this.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Whether or not it was Lisa.
Oh my God, you're afraid.
Or John or someone in Team Vanderpump. I think that Lisa has a demonstrated pattern of manipulation and shadiness. And so almost.
God bless. Thank you for your service, LVP.
This, I know, right? Like truly a master of the reality television arts, as I think Brian Moylan would say. But she is. So it's almost like immaterial to me, the specifics of Puppygate, because it's just like I'm excited that we're talking about. And I will say, I mean, Vanderpump has eroded a lot. She at one time, I would have said she was my favorite housewife. She's eroded a lot of that goodwill. And also, I mean, I say this and in the same breath, I will say RIP Lisa's mom, which has happened.
Lisa's mom. She's had a bad year, guys. She had to stop filming Pump Rules. I wonder... You know, not to make it all about us, the viewers, God forbid, but I wonder how that's going to affect Jax and Brittany's wedding, because Lisa is now back in England making funeral arrangements. Jax and Brittany are getting married. Today's the 21st, I think next week.
Yeah.
So I would assume a huge part of this, because it's definitely being filmed for the show, is Lisa being there. Now, I'm a Jew. We bury people 40 minutes after... after they die. I mean, we're like, you're dead. Okay, here's Shiva. Like, it's no. So I don't know how that works. And also, if Lisa has to plan stuff in another country, that's not like she's bringing back her mom back. But I think that's a lot for her to go through. You know, I feel for her. Yeah. I also feel for us, the viewers, because. Same. This season has died. So you think it doesn't matter who on her team did it, but it was definitely somebody on her team.
Yeah, that's what I think, honestly. I also am just really quick aside before
Please
I forget,
tell me.
Did you see that Shep Rose from Southern Charm said that he's of course attending the Jackson Brittany wedding because
Of course he is.
Said that Sheena Shea reached out to him, or no longer Sheena Shea, excuse me.
Sheena Marie
reached out to him and said, "Will you save a dance for me at Jax's wedding?" And I'm just like that's like exactly what Sheena would do, of course. But I'm just curious to see what opportunities for like inter-franchise cross-pollination might
have. Well, she's done something. She's stooped or made out heavily with Carl from Summer House. Sheena's been around
Robbie from The Bachelorette, of course, outside of network.
God,
but
that was awful.
That was just like, guys, it's like
no one is. And he was so unattractive. And it was like, it was just real bad. It was two desperate people being very desperate with each other to desperately get a plot on a TV show of some sort. What do you think about, before we talk about Beverly Hills, I just want to know, what do you think of, because you recap Southern Charm for New York Mag / Vulture.
Yeah.
What do you think about Shep?
I have a soft spot for Shep. I think he is, I will say this about Shep, because it's a mean thing to say, but you know, women have this said about them so often and their looks scrutinized in our culture that I think I have a little leeway to say it is shocking how much Shep has aged since season one.
He got super bloaty.
It's like the opposite of a picture of Dorian Gray. Like every bad thing he does is just on his own face, like double.
Yeah, it's legit catching up with him. Because he's in his late 30s.
Yeah.
He's not a little kid anymore.
I think Shep is like a pretty bright guy. He is a smart guy. And
he reads. He tells you that every day.
He also is like pretty upfront about his sleaziness. So I don't know. I tolerate him. I will say that I think that on Southern Charm we have like what someone who could potentially be like a great reality star of our time, and I think just needs like the breathing room and the attention, and that is Craig.
I'm obsessed
with
he's
Craig.
He's so beautiful.
He makes such weird choices. He says such strange things. I think also like I feel like people who are not connoisseurs of reality television don't understand that some people have a gift, like some people like Sonia Tremont Morgan. I love watching Sonia because it's that feeling, that universal satisfaction of looking at someone being like, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Like you have found it.
Yeah.
Like, thank God, right place, right time. We are so blessed. And I know Craig is certainly, I mean, who is a Sonia? Craig is no Sonia, but He is just somebody who can just generate so much amazing content naturally, independent of like, we're doing a storyline. Just the things that come out of his mouth, he almost reminds me of, like, I mentioned, I'm from Jersey. I have written about extensively and I stan a Jersey Shore. And it's almost like, for some reason, I think of like, very different vibe, but he almost reminds me of like
The Situation.
Not even The Situation, but almost like maybe The Situation, but sort of he has a sort of like male Jersey Shore cast member quality to him, which is a horrible comparison because it is not at all true on any surface level. But just in terms of like the things he says, I am so impressed by as a reality TV viewer because they're so crazy, or like the strange choices he makes, like his eyeliner application he is doing all of a sudden. He has like in his kitchen, like a purpose-built plexiglass set of shelves just for women's sunglasses, like 8 pairs maybe, that are available to girls who may or may not spend the night at his home, which is like, who, it's like an alien watched Dating and was like, I will blend in with society. Like, who would fucking do that? That's crazy. That's not even like, oh, he's like a sleaze. Like, that's just like fucking crazy. Like, who would do that? So I watch this show pretty much. I mean, I watch it because I get paid to watch it and because I enjoy it, but also like I just love Craig. I think Craig is just a spark of joy and radiance on the reality TV landscape.
I also feel like, aside from his blind spot of Naomi, where on last season's reunion he was like, tell me one lie I've ever said, tell me one lie, and Naomi, the look of shock on her face of like, just one, yeah, like how about a top 20. I feel like aside from that and the anger because he's jealous and upset and hurt that they broke up, aside from that situation, I don't doubt his impulses because they are strange and they are Looney Tunes, but I don't doubt that it's like a product of our society.
Yeah.
Versus Shep, who says that every man reanalyzes their like thoughts and moves after Me Too, and he did that weird shit with Chelsea where he was like trying to be all up in her grill and she was like, I'm saying no means no, and he's like, but what? I think the way that he has handled the Mackenzie Austin situation
is so odd
and so to the heart and soul of how Shep was raised and the
absolutely
elitist attitude that he has. And everyone was so focused on T-Rab for so long that we might have missed out on clues about Shep from seasons past. And now T-Rab's absence is giving us the gift of like, guess what? There's another chauvinist on the show and he's the guy who was so adorable that he got a spinoff. And he's staring at us in the face. And, you know, Andy still calls him like Sheppy, and he was like his little pet from Southern Charm. And I think even Andy is like, this is not your season. You're not coming across well. And Shep was on Watch What Happens this week, and he was like, Mackenzie's white trash. She's not a white trash hairdresser. She's just white trash. And here's the thing with cheating on somebody after you've broken up. Like, it doesn't make sense because then you're back together and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, sweetie, similar to Luann, you're not taking in the genuine critique that's being made about your behavior. You're thinking that it has some other point for some other thing. And it's like, take a moment and understand, even if God forbid the people saying it are, I don't know, women, that this is not working out for you. You're wrong. And the reason you're wrong is because of all this shit that's like been in our culture. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're exactly right. I think he is. It's like a more insidious toxic masculinity because it's like toxic. I mean, T-Rap obviously is a monster that you could see coming from miles away.
Yeah.
But it's like toxic masculinity in plain sight. And they literally, the whole with Austin and what's her name?
Madison McKenzie, McClara,
the hairdresser who is not Chelsea, who he literally was like, Austin cheated on her, but then she cheated on him, and that is empirically, objectively worse, which is like, what? I mean, like, they're both bad, but he was so emphatic and strange. And also, like, if you want to be really like mathematical about it, Austin seemingly had sex with 2 women, and we know of her having sex with 1. So just purely based on math, Shep, it's like 2-1 Austin. But yeah, it definitely seems like whenever there's that sort of why, like an inexplicable level of anger, it seems like, well, what could it be but some fun misogynistic attitudes layered in there? Like, it is really his reactions to that breakup have been bizarre and incomprehensible to me.
Yeah. Speaking of bizarre and incomprehensible, let's pivot back to Beverly Hills.
Oh, please.
So LVP is gone and Kyle and Teddy feel like they need to fill her shoes.
Yeah.
Is that what we witnessed this week?
You know, I definitely felt that way last week at dinner with the, you know, Rinna Jane.
Yeah.
You must be upset. Then with the kind of like the second version of that dinner that was just like much drunker back at the chateau this week, I felt that, but I also kind of, I think Rinna was saying like, oh, they feel bad because they think that Erica doesn't like to be around them. I don't know. I'm kind of like, with the drunkenness, I was like, oh, is this more them just like wanting something from Erica emotionally? But yeah, I mean, in general, I super agree that I think like in the LVP vacuum, like I think like Kyle is becoming the grand dame and Teddy her Jiggy, if not her Kyle or her Brandy or something.
Yeah, I think Erica feels that it was hypocritical that they are judging this impression that happened at Fairway 900 years ago and yeah. they're making impressions over wine, and that's something. And I feel like Kyle and Teddy are actually channeling their anger to Rinna through Erica, and
yeah,
they're using Erica Jane as the vessel, and the vessel is like, why are you putting this on me? Because I don't want this.
Yeah.
And Rinna is there being like, none of this makes sense. Like, I thought Rinna and Dorit had excellent episodes.
Oh, 100%. And this is the most I have ever liked Dorit. I think it started when she got a traumatic brain injury playing racquetball or squash or whatever they were playing. And then it was like the episode of Dwight of The Office where like Dwight hits his head and he's like a nice person.
Oh my God, yes.
I was like, oh my God, who is this Dorit who's like dumping out her empty wine glass and is like clearly on the right side of the spike and then forgot Teddy's name. I was like, oh my Dorit, God. Where have you been all
and
my life?
And the viewers are Pam. Like, I'm just going to say goodbye to you. And he's like, why are you saying that? You don't worry about it. It's going to be different. I mean, it is probably going to be different if Beverly Hills does a recast or whatever and Dorit goes back to being bad Dorit, which she probably will next week when Camille's like, you're poor and I know why. Yeah, I felt like they both had really, really strong episode. I had people reach out to me saying this week was the worst episode of Beverly Hills they'd ever seen. I disagreed with that. I thought last week was. I was annoyed last week. This week I was like, this is actually kind of interesting because I think Kyle and Teddy are totally in the wrong for different reasons. I think Kyle is annoyed that Erica, since she for the last few seasons has appeared that she does not want to be on the show. She wants to be on her own tour and doing her own thing with her own group of people and doesn't like being there. And because she's saying it on a day that Erica had a migraine, it's like, this is not coming across well for you. And they're also both insisting that their truth should be Erica's. And when she says it's not, they don't take that as an answer. They just push further.
Yeah, totally.
And so they both came off poorly. Kyle has admitted it on Watch What Happens and online. She's like, we pushed it way too hard. We fucked up. And Teddy's thing was actually sort of interesting to me because it went into this whole weird drunken where the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Truth serum, vodka, same difference. Where she's like, you guys need me to be the moral compass. And Rinna gently is like, we don't. It's like that scene with Lou and Ramona where Lou's like, they're all just, they want to be me. And Ramona's like, we don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this, it felt this similar vibe where there's somebody who's making sense and then somebody who's like completely gone, completely crazy. And with Teddy, it was like, oh, is this why you're an accountability coach? Because you want everything to be great because you had, and this is no judgment, but because you had a sort of a chaotic childhood with a famous father. And you look at order as safety.
Yeah.
And you need everything to be orderly and out in the open. Otherwise, it like triggers her and makes her feel unsafe. And maybe that's what came out of the Puppygate situation. And that's why she was sort of pushing hard, because she feels a responsibility to herself to have everything out in the open. Otherwise, she goes back to that childhood thing. I don't know. I might be giving her too much credit. I also fervently disagreed with her, but I felt like it was an interesting peek into her psyche.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they were right. People are like, you know, Kyle and Teddy were trying on LVP's hat and it turns out like it's too big and a fedora of some sort. And I get that. I also, it's not that I disagree with that. I also just think there's other stuff going on. It makes more sense for Kyle to be doing that than Teddy.
Yeah.
Although they definitely formed an alliance and it was very poorly strategized.
Yes.
At least in how they executed it. But I think there's like some other stuff here. Like, I don't hate Kyle, although I do think Kyle is Kyle's worst enemy aside from Kim. And yeah, I think when Kyle gets ideas that are production based, they sort of don't go according to plan because she's not as smart and strategic as Bobby Fischer. And I think Teddy is here to have her sister slash sister wife on her side. And so she's going to align herself with Kyle whenever she can. And she also is triggered by the idea that someone is lying.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think ultimately it's like, if you're angry at someone, be angry at Rinna. And also, this is so dumb. And why are they in Provence?
Yeah, what is going on? Oh, I know.
It would make sense if Lisa Vanderpump was there, that all of these personalities and all of these women who obviously are now finally being open about their mistrust of LBP the entire time. At least that's, they're being open about it. But like, why do they need to be in a little house where there's nothing to do and they go to a market or whatever?
I know. I guess, you know, I can see the rosé. Although I enjoyed the impressions they did. The rosé tasting and blending could, I mean, I guess that could have been a plot point of Rinna being like, I like this more than Vanderpump Rosé, and then Lisa being there and that being a thing. But yeah, like without her, it felt like a really, I don't know, I've like been really disappointed in general our vacations lately. Like that was kind of a bleh. I mean, on New York, we only went to Miami. We didn't go anywhere internationally.
Why the fuck did we only go to Miami?
I know, which is like, I feel like we go to Miami. They've like been to every 3 months.
Right, they've been to Miami before.
Yeah. We're always in Florida. Like something terrible is always happening.
Luann's like, I'm never going back to Florida. Meanwhile, she posed in front of a poster for an upcoming show in Florida. So we know exactly how long that
lasted. With a photo taken by a girl who definitely was just walking by and was not part of the production team at all.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
yeah, it's all kind of weird to me. I'm ready for it to die. I am ready for Camille to step up to the plate. I'm not into Camille online being like, they're bullies, because Camille, you need to be back full time. Like, if we're going to bring some shit up, like, let's just have you back. Like, please. Can we please have you back full time? Because I don't know what they're going to do next season. I think it's a fucking garbage mess.
What do you think about Brandy? Like,
I think that people want Brandy back because they want something to happen. But I think Brandy is so manufactured that I don't think that's the way that they want to go. I think it's a bad sign that Kyle's like, yeah, let's bring back Brandy, which she's done in some press interviews in the last week or two. I think that's a very bad sign. I think Brandy coming back would just be a fuck you to LVP. And at a certain point, hasn't the second half of the season been a fuck you to LVP? And look how successful that's been. I think that they need to reshuffle the deck. And I tried to say this, I think, on last week's episode. And I don't think... I know that I don't have the answer because I look at these women and I'm like, well, Teddy serves a purpose because she's... and Dorit serves a purpose because I want to hear more about the money that they have just laundered into Gucci and her weird hair accessories. And I think Kyle serves a purpose, which is just saying in Beverly Hills. And Camille
and
needs to be
that's
back.
That's how we get to see Mauricio. Is
right. And Camille needs to be back full time. I think Erica should be moved to friend of or given a spinoff or just whatever. I do not think that Erica loves elements of the show, and I don't think that Erica's willing to open up her life in the way that is necessary at this point. I think we need an all or nothing. And
yeah, I'm with you. I like Erica a lot, but I think that, I mean, we just keep running into this problem.
Yeah. I don't have an answer. I don't know, except to say that Brandy can be back as a friend of, but I think not only is Brandy probably at a different point in her life and is probably slightly more desperate.
Yeah.
I don't know that transfers to good TV, but I know that a ton of people want her back and I'm not being closed off to that. I just don't think that she is the answer. I think that we need, I think we need some sort of LVP-esque person, but LVP is in and of herself singular. And
I know
she was an alpha and she understood TV production. And I don't think these other women, I don't know that it's possible to replace. I really don't have an answer.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I really don't. I think OC is more obvious in like removing some of the dead weight, which are some of the OGs and some people who've been on for a while. But I don't know what to do about Beverly Hills, except to say that it's sick. It like needs to be helped.
Yeah,
like,
for
it,
sure.
Like, you know, if Tinsley's going to call 911 for her dead dog.
Oh my God.
Which, what? Oh.
Can I tell you Okay. Well, Sarah, you should know that I am the mother of a mature chihuahua. So it was a triggering week for
me. Named Bambi. Also.
Debbie, I'll show you a picture. She's on my phone.
So oh my God. Can't
you can,
wait.
Listeners can tell what she looks like by Sarah's reaction.
Okay. So we'll put it up as like an Insta story.
Oh, I can't do this right. There you go. There's Debbie.
Oh, she's wearing like a little girl. Halloween thing. So cute.
This was Debbie's Farrahween / actual Halloween. But no, so I was like, oh my God, I was like, as soon as we go into this scene, I was like, I am going to just be crying. And I am really genuinely, really sympathetic to Tinsley. It's devastating. It's a family member.
It is a child. It is a child.
100%. But I mean,
more so than a child.
The Ramona and Sonia greatest comedy duo of our time. Just, I mean, well, Tinsley alone cry the 911 thing. She starts crying in like whistle tones that I don't understand.
God, it was so good. God bless her. It was a gift.
It was such a gift. Ramona's face. Hugging her and trying to maintain an expression of sympathy, but while like having all these glitching micro expressions of like disgust and confusion.
Yeah, she was trying to hug her. She was trying to both hug her and pat her on the back. Yeah, like, exactly. I don't want to touch you, but here we are having a moment.
Oh my God.
Speaking of Tinsley, guys, the moment has arrived. Are you guys ready for a little kiki that I had with Her Holiness the Tins at last week's Feeling Giovanni? Now is the time. So guys, enjoy this little interview of me and the Tins. Tinsley Mortimer, I am so excited to talk to you here for Andy's Girls. So first off, we're here at the world premiere of Luann's video Feeling Giovanni. Have you seen it? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings?
You know, I honestly haven't. I've seen a little bit of it.
Okay, you've seen the teaser.
I think that it is going to be amazing. I mean, the fact that she has Lisa Rinna involved,
amazing.
I'm really excited for her. I think it's awesome. Love.
So what's your favorite Luann song? We have Girl Code, we have Feeling Giovanni, we have Chic C'est La Vie, we have Money Can't Buy You Class.
I mean, you know, I go old school with like Money Can't Buy You Class.
Oh my God, it's a classic.
It's a good one. But, you know, Giovanni could be a really, I don't know. I haven't really heard the whole thing, so we'll see. But
I think you're going to like it.
It might fight Money Can't Buy You Class.
Oh, I love
we'll see.
It. Yeah. Okay, what's old and new is coming together.
Yeah,
it might. So question for you. There are some casting rumors about next season. You have been spotted filming. Is there anything you can tell us about officially being back?
You know, the thing is that it's so funny because every year it's the same thing. You know, it's like at the very end of towards the season, they're all speculations. Who's coming back? Who's getting asked back? Whole thing. And, you know, I have filmed with a new girl, possibly.
What?
But I can't tell you who.
Is it your mother?
No, it's not my mother.
Oh, no, Dale.
Although Dale would make a lovely housewife, but she doesn't live in New York City. No, it's a girl who lives in New York. She's a younger girl. She's great. She's actually a mutual friend of mine. But she's not a personal friend of mine. She's a mutual friend of mine. And I think she'd be awesome for the show. And I was just asked to film something with her, so we'll see if she works out or not. Apparently, there's other people they're testing, and, you know, we have some spaces open at this point, so we'll see. But every year, it's the same thing. There's speculation about who's coming or not.
And
there's a lot of, you know, girls doing a lot of stuff on Page Six that is not
always accurate.
Not accurate at all.
So
we'll see.
I love it. Do you watch any other Housewife franchises? Are you into Beverly Hills?
I love them.
You do?
I love Beverly Hills.
So whose side are you on? LVP or everybody else?
You know what? It's very hard for me because I do think that I know from experience how there can be sort of a girl gang up mentality on these shows. And I think that LVP didn't maybe do something as bad as I think that she did. And they thought that she, you know, planted a story and this whole thing. And it just makes me feel so badly for her. And I don't, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
But I do also, I mean, I'm a big fan of the other side of Dorit and Kyle and Erica Jane and the glam. And I just love to watch them because they're so pretty and fun. And
if there was a franchise that you could be on that wasn't
New York,
would it be Beverly Hills?
Absolutely. How can we even say that? I mean, like, I would not get in trouble for having a glam team at that point. Like,
no,
I got in trouble.
You would be rewarded.
I know. When I was in New York and I had like a glam team come to Columbia, everyone got mad at me. But, you know, this is my life. Like, I love glam. I mean, I just launched an eyelash line with Winky Lux yesterday.
Oh, my God. Mazel.
Yes.
Are you wearing them now?
I'm wearing them
now. We'll do a selfie. You look
phenomenal.
These are the graduates. These are the big boys. I have three different styles, but these are like the baby doll, the everything, and the graduate with Winky Lux. And they're amazing, and it's so fun for me. I love makeup. I'm from the South. Right. I love glam. I love makeup. And these girls got mad at me for having some glam at different venues.
Well, they can just go fuck themselves and get their own.
But then that's not the point. But I just think that if I were in Beverly Hills, they would like not be mad at me about doing it. So
speaking of all things production, reunion taped, what can you tell us? What's a little sneak peek, inside scoop that you can share?
It was definitely very therapeutic.
Okay.
As it always is.
Yeah.
The reunion was, we dealt with a lot. We talked about a lot.
Okay.
I mean, a lot happened. And I think it was really, really good. I personally, though, feel that I was not able to get a lot out with my situation. Dorinda and I have had a little bit of an argument, and I feel like I wasn't able to really kind of clear it up a little bit.
You didn't feel any resolution at the reunion?
Not as much as I wanted to. So,
have you followed up with her at all since?
We have, but I haven't had any sort of resolution on that either. So,
got it. And, you know, one of Andy's favorite phrases is rose and thorn. What's your peak moment from the show and your valley?
Those.
You hate
it. Literally, when every time we have a rose and thorn or a truth or dare,
how fucking dare
I lose.
They? You do?
I literally lose. I'm the worst at these games.
Oh, no. It's like choosing a room.
No,
when is Tinsley going to be number one? When is it happening?
I hate them. No, I'm not doing Rose or Thorn, and I'm not doing Through the Deer. I swear to God, I'm the worst at these. I'm just telling that honestly, this season was emotional for me.
Yeah.
I broke up with my ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Well, boyfriend at the time.
Rest in peace,
now.
Coupon Cabin.
What?
I said, rest in peace, Coupon
right,
Cabin.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, my little baby died, my dog. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
And I had a lot going on, and it just was, you know, emotional, and I'm very honest. I mean, unbeknownst to, I feel like people think, like, they say, the girls try to say I'm not. I am the most honest. I explain every single thing. I tell everything's going on in my life, and what's going on was what's going on, which was that I was breaking up with my boyfriend. It was hard for me, and then I was dealing with my dog getting sick, and I was trying to work my businesses and everything else. And you know, it's just when you film something over 4.5 months,
right,
and that's supposed to be your life,
yeah,
it's not exactly your life. I mean, your life extends outside of that, and it's a lot. So you know, now I'm very happy about the fact that I've launched my lash line, and I'm like super happy dating again. And I have
yes,
a really good
Tinsley Mortimer. Things are
I have
are
a really
happening.
Good boyfriend right now,
Shut
but I can't
up.
Say.
Are you guys exclusive?
Yeah, but we can't. I'm not saying.
Okay, you're not saying anything. Is he here tonight?
No.
Does he have a brother? Is there a cousin?
I'm not saying anything.
Tinsley Mortimer, you need
but
to come on
a,
Andy's Girls and describe
a,
him with his shirt off.
He's a very nice man.
Love
and
it.
He has some children, and it's super
he has
nice.
Some children.
And we've had some really nice dates and fun. I met the kids and everything. And it's all good, so it's good.
Well, I can't wait to see more of that next season. Tinsley Mortimer, total pleasure. Thank you so much for being on Andy's
Thank
Girls.
You.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, wasn't that spectacular?
Love the Tins.
So much.
Love her. So much happened. So much was expressed. Just the magic of Czech.
Wow, this was magical. Can you tell the people where to find you online and just like in real life, like give us your address and your social.
Well, you guys already know Queens. Do your stalking. Please don't find my parents in New Jersey. They'll be very confused and upset. I am Molly Fitz on Twitter. And yeah, you can find my recaps on Vulture for various different reality shows.
Oh
but
my
this,
God, they're so good. You're so talented.
Oh my God, can stop. I just like can fangirl? I, this has been, please, I would love to come back anytime. This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. That doesn't make any sense. Thank you for being on the People's People's Couch for the People's People's Podcast. This has been such a delight. And I feel like this has been a New York heavy episode of AG as it should be. And I am so glad we talked about Southern Charm, and I'd love to have you back, especially, you know, like when I feel like the trailer for Jersey is going to come out soon. And
yeah.
I want to get your thoughts on the reunion for Beverly Hills when it happens, if anything happens, because I do think the conversation needs to be continued of like, how can we help BH, and is there an answer? And listeners, reach out to us, Twitter at Sarah Galley, Instagram at Dame Galley, because I want to hear from you of how you think we can help Beverly Hills get back to the place it was, because it did used to be such a good show. And I know that Housewives is now part of the lexicon. And I know that with that, we sacrifice a little bit of the reality that we used to have in its pure form. And I get that on Beverly Hills, if these women are natural entertainers, former child actors, whatever, have to put on a role as a missus to a bajillionaire hubs, like, I get that they are more comfortable with a mask to begin with. But I'm just wondering, I think the conversation continues of like, ultimately, how can we fix this? Because I do think it can be fixed. I think, like Bambi, maybe OC needs to be put down of all of the franchises, but I wonder if we can get Beverly Hills back to the land of the living. Does that make sense? We need to burnish this diamond.
I will say, I like it. I will not be the first person to suggest this, and you know, it's a bold idea. I not only think that the cast of Vanderpump Rules should graduate and we have a next generation there, I think that Lala Kent should have a diamond.
While her husband still has some money left, or fiance still has some money left, can we promote Lala and possibly in like 2 to 5 Stassi Schroeder to Beverly Hills, because both of these women are so good at television and it is such a specific skill. And Lord knows you and I have watched enough Bravo TV to like know when you see a shining star. And I think those are two excellent shining stars. And while they are still so good, not immediately, but while they're still so good, it would be great to promote them. And that would be the first time that that's happened, right? Now, we're not talking spinoff. We're just talking,
The Pump closest Rules equivalent is the way that Vanderpump Rules sprung off from Beverly Hills. So why not try the other way around?
I would love it. Oh my God. 1/3 of the Witches of WeHo. Please. We've had Carlton on. We are ready for another witch. Okay. This has been such a pleasure. Obsessed with you. Guys, read every recap because they are magical. And I had even like made a note to myself of something while I was laughing my ass off on your Southern Charm recap. You described, is it Eliza? Danny and Naomi as a hobo camp community stew of leftover cast members, which you guys... Wow.
Well, I have to come back because we have to talk about Eliza one day, but yes.
Oh my God. What a mess. They need to give that white trash hairdresser, who's actually not white trash, but also a hairdresser, the, what is he, what do you get in Southern Term? I'm not holding a goddamn thing, but Eliza, much like Bambi.
Sexually transmitted disease, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Eliza needs to be put down. This has been such a magical moment. Guys, get in touch. Let us know your thoughts and feelings. 5 stars on iTunes. This is episode 112. Can I just have like 112 new reviews by next week? Just a small little ask. Love all of you. Can't wait to talk to you soon. Goodbye.